trying to advance, and he's trying to specify, I think, narrow it down to a specific duty. You know how they mentioned that one spiritual master, one deity, one scripture, that kind of thing. So he's narrowing it down so he can focus.
Hmm. Yeah, good point.
That the answer could be attractive to everybody, that one should worship the form that's most attractive to him.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. So this is the seventh question being answered. There's a number of questions here. If we go back to the second chapter, verses 20-21, the reference is there to the various questions which are being asked in this conversation. So, in this conversation, yeah, it's recorded. In this conversation, the seventh question which is being asked is, what are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? So what are the various pastimes, the various incarnations? This is being described now. So it is being mentioned that we have to discover our Ishtadev. Now, what is our Ishtadev? Yeah, specifically, Ishtadev means your worshipable form or your worshipable Lord or the particular form of the deity that you are attracted to. Yeah, so every devotee is different. Right? Some devotees, they worship Lord Ramachandra. That is their Ishtadev. Some worship Lord Nisringhadev. That is their Ishtadev. Some worship Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna. Dhruv, this year we're coming on time. Dhruv, have to come on time this year. Class has been going already. So, what is our Ishtadev? Who is the worshipable person who we meditate on within our heart? The Paramatma, the Super Soul, he takes the form of your Ishtadev. If you meditate on Krishna in your heart, then he will manifest, right? The Ishtadev will come within your heart. It is the person that you meditate on, the form of the Lord that you meditate on while performing your devotional service. So it can be different for different devotees. Even in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, even in Lord Chaitanya's, amongst Lord Chaitanya's followers, we know the famous example of who? Murari Gupta. Yeah, Murari Gupta was attached to Lord Ramachandra because he was non-different from Hanuman. He was Hanuman. So it's not that everyone in the followers of Lord Chaitanya are necessarily going to worship the same form. Right? So you have to discover, as you practice your bhakti, inspiration has to come for a particular form of Krishna. Who is it that you will meditate upon? Who is it that you will follow? No? So Prabhupada says, interestingly, in his purports in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11 or chapter 12, at the very end, right? So Srila Prabhupada says, we should, this is Prabhupada's recommendation, because we are Prabhupada Nugas, which means we're following Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, we should meditate on the form of Krishna in Vrindavan, Brajendra Nandana. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says the same thing. We should meditate on the form of Krishna within our heart. Krishna in Vrindavan.
And no one else.
Yeah, and Prabhupada says, do not divert your attention to any other form. Don't meditate on a different form. Prabhupada himself says that in the Bhagavad Gita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says the same thing. So for us, we have to work out which form it is that we are meditating upon. This will, as you practice bhakti, this will come naturally, spontaneously. And then once you have the form that you're meditating upon, the particular form of Krishna, then you have to discover which rasa You are situated in relation to that form. If you're worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, then there are primary rasas. No? Stahi bhav, which means your permanent ecstasy, devotion towards Krishna. Whether it's in Sakya ras or Vatsalya ras or Madhurya ras. Now this all has to be discovered. That is the point of studying the Bhagavatam. That is the point of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That is the point of practicing devotional service. So this is what is being pointed out here. So any points?
So if we meditate on Radha Vallabh, is that similar meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan?
That is Krishna in Vrindavan. Radha Vallabh is Krishna.
All is called deities, Radha Vallabh, or Radha Gopinath.
Not all is called deities. There's Lord Ramachandra is there, and at different places there are different deities.
Not in Gaudiya?
Well, Lord Chaitanya is none different from Krishna, so. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the form of a devotee meditating upon himself. Lord Chaitanya is meditating on Krishna. Jagannath is also Krishna in Dwarka meditating on himself in Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are meditating on Radha Krishna. Jagannath Balaram Subhadra are meditating on Radha Krishna and Radha Krishna on Ishtadev. Any other point?
This reminds me of a pastime. Surdas, he was a famous, you know, Surdas. He was blind. And he was walking in a forest. And he was about to fall in a deep well. Just 1 feet before, 2 feet before, he had written in diary. A young boy, 5-year-old thing, he didn't know he was going to fall. And he was having such nice smell. So Sudan asked, "Who are you in this dense forest? I don't expect anybody to hold my hand."
Tell it quickly. Right.
So it is such an ecstasy. Then he said, he didn't care. He asked him, "Who is your father? Who is your grandfather?" So the boy said, "We are asking all my family history." Then he left after putting him around the coin. And then Buddha said, "Oh, it must be Krishna." So he said, "You have left my arm, but you can't get out of my heart." Very nice poem. I don't remember the exact words. "But you can leave my heart, leave my hand, but you cannot come out of my heart." And he was probably saying, Krishna, you know, Vrindavan. But Gopal is saying.
That's the Ishtadev. Any other points?
Gopal was for me, from Shanakrama, Radharama comes out. Is it an Ishtadev or Gopal was for me?
And he used to see Radha Raman as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would see him in a golden color.
And Sudha was crying and crying for 2 nights. "Why did you leave me?"
Who was seeing the Chaitanya, the Radha Raman?
Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
And he was seeing the Chaitanya.
Also in Mana Siksha, Raghunath Das Goswami specifically, one of the prayers to his own mind, he says, "Oh mind, don't never take me to the 400 form of the Lord. Always let me worship the 200 form of Shams." It's a specific verse from the prayer.
Anything else? Okay. So read the second paragraph. Mercy, would you like to read the second paragraph?
It is important to note in this regard that the word Abhimata Murti, meaning one's most desirable form, does not indicate that one may concoct a form of the Lord by one's own will. Advaitam Achyutam Anandim Ananta Rupam. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are anadim or eternal, Thus, there is no question of concocting a form, because such a concoction would be Adi, or the origin of the concocted form. Abhimata Murti means that among the eternal forms of the Lord, one should select that form which most inspires one's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such love cannot be imitated, but it is automatically aroused when one follows the prescribed rules and regulations given by the bona fide spiritual master and submissively hears these descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, any points?
One example of this is within our movement is that many people worship Gaura Dharadhar form, which Prabhupada did not approve.
Oh, it's not that he did not approve, he just didn't do it himself. There's no disapproval. That's Shastra.
Is it acceptable?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was worshipping Gaura-Dharadhar. Yeah. If you go to Mayapur, if you go to Godarum, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Samadhi, then his own deities of Gaura-Dharadhar are there.
So what I read somewhere was that when you meditate on this, people tend to meditate on Gadadhar as Radharan, and that's where it's Rasavas, because Gadadhar Pandit...
No, because Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani,
yeah.
And Krishna, Mahaprabhu, is Krishna. So, yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was worshipping like that. It's completely bona fide. There's nothing unbona fide about it all.
What is more, Gadadhar as Lord Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, the actual Gadadhar Pandit, or was it like Radha Krishna? What mood did he worship?
He's worshipping Gaur Gadadhar, but then when you worship them on a very deep level, then it describes in the nocturnal kirtan at Srivas Angam. During the nocturnal kirtan, then Gaur Gadadhar, Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar would wander together holding hands through the garden during the kirtan in the mood of Radha Krishna. So, you know, it's a advanced or esoteric meditation. That's why Prabhupada installed Gaur Nithai all over the planet, because that's it's more advanced. So it's not something that, you know, Prabhupada chose not to install those deities all over the planet. And then secondly, that Nityananda Prabhu is the most merciful personality. And Prabhupada felt that the whole world needed his mercy in order to become purified and Krishna conscious. Any other points? So as it says here in the second paragraph, the form of the Lord that we worship must be authorized as it is an eternal form of the Lord. You cannot concoct a form. You cannot say, well, you know, I'll start worshiping this person or that person or this form or that form. It doesn't work like that. You know, in India all the time there's incarnations popping up, right, every week. Like I saw, year or two ago, you know, some Mataji's, everyone says she's Ma, Kali Ma, Durga Ma, you know, people are worshipping, she's got followers. Yeah, there's people doing like that, you know, and then there's others that say the same thing. You know, there's more than one Durga Ma manifest. You know, I don't know if they meet each other or not, or... Yeah, but you can't concoct a form. The form has to be spoken of in the Shastra, has to be authorized by the Shastra. The incarnation must be stated within the Shastra. It says within the Bhagavatam, there's no incarnation of Krishna coming for another 427,000 years. So for the next 427,000 years, if anyone says they're an incarnation of Vishnu, it's not legitimate. It's not there within the Shastra. Right? Mahaprabhu already appeared 500 years ago. Even when people would say to him, sometimes people would say, you are Vishnu, you are Krishna. Right? He would cover his ears and say, oh, no, because he was Chana Avatar. Chana Avatar means the hidden incarnation. He did not reveal himself. He's not directly mentioned within the scripture. He's not directly mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It's a hidden incarnation. There's no direct mention. So the incarnation cannot be concocted. It must be authorized by the Shastra. Right? It must be verified. It must be an eternal form of the Lord. This is discussed. Right? These forms that we worship, Gaur-Nitai, Radha Krishna, Radha Vallabha, Jagannath, these are eternal forms in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. These forms manifest into this world. You can't just concoct some form and say, this is God. No, it doesn't work like that. So it's saying here, the Ishtadev must be actual Ishtadev. Okay. Any points?
One more thing about what you know, Thakur, that person, you were saying, I am Mahavishnu.
Yeah. Yeah, during his time.
Yeah.
See, it came to my mind, he was very advanced. He was a rational. So is he asking all the questions because he didn't know, or is he asking for us?
No, this is a discussion which devotees benefit from.
So it is actually from our benefit.
Yeah, and also advanced devotees relish hearing these conversations. So any other points? Okay. Sri Drumila said, anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord has the intelligence of a foolish child. Even if a great genius could somehow or other, after a time-consuming endeavor, count all the particles of dust on the surface of the earth, such a genius could never count the attractive qualities of the personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all potencies. Nila Gopa, you want to read that?
In the break of the many requests that the Lama Yogendras describe all the qualities and postures of the Lord. Sri Drumila here describes that only the most foolish person would even attempt such a comprehensive description of the unlimited qualities and passions of the personality of Godhead. Such foolish, childish persons, however, are far more advanced than ignorant, materialistic scientists who actually try to describe all the knowledge without even referring to the personality of Godhead. In other words, although it is impossible to describe the Lord fully, foolish, atheistic scientists attempt to describe all knowledge without even having reached the most preliminary knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Such atheistic persons should be understood to be short-sighted and of very weak religions. Despite their showy material achievements, which ultimately end in great suffering and destruction, it is said that Lord Anantadeva himself, with his innumerable tongues, cannot even begin to vibrate completely the glories of the person of Godhead. The example given in this verse is very nice. No human being can hope to count the number of particles on the surface of the earth. Therefore, no one should foolishly try to understand the Supreme Lord by his own tiny endeavor. One should submissively hear Lord the God as it is spoken by the God himself in Bhagavad Gita. And thus one should gradually be elevated to the stage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by tasting a drop of sea water, one can get a general idea of the flavor of the entire ocean. Similarly, by submissively hearing about the personality of Godhead, one can acquire a qualitative understanding of the absolute truth. All the quantitatively one's knowledge can never be complete.
What are the points?
In this chapter, a lot of incarnations are going to be now directly. So it's kind of preempting to him, saying that I may narrate all these things, but it is not at all exhaustive. And I think Prabhupada writes a very similar purpose even in first canto, the third chapter. Krishna is the source of all these things. That he will describe. All these are described, but it is anant, endless.
Anything else? So, the Lord is known as Achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. So, it's not easy to understand these things. It's mentioned here that it will take countless lifetimes. The fact that we're all sitting here now in this room and we're all listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam means we've been practicing for a number of lifetimes. Because you can't just come to this understanding. It's very difficult for the common people, like the Australian public, right? 25 million people. There's only a handful that can actually understand what we're even talking about here. Right? It takes lifetimes of development to understand these things. Because the Lord is achintya, inconceivable. All these things are very difficult to understand. They're not easy subject matters or topics. So, as it says here, that even the most intelligent persons, they cannot come to the end of the description of the pastimes of the Lord. Even Anantadev himself, with his thousand mouths, cannot come to the end of the understanding of the pastimes of Krishna. So this is not easy to understand. This is the point. So, any points?
They say Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta. Lord is inconceivable and his pastimes are most inconceivable. Hari?
Yeah. Good. Anything else?
It says somewhere that unless he tells you, you can never understand him.
Oh.
Any other points?
We are minute part and parcels of Krishna, and we are in fractions of the qualities, like 50% or less than that.
50 out of 64 qualities, so that's 78% the jiva has, to a minute degree. Anything else?
What is 78%?
78% of Krishna's qualities.
Yeah.
You cannot have universes coming out of your pores. So you do not have all the qualities of Krishna.
I don't think I've heard
only 50 of 64 you can have to some degree.
I don't think I've heard even 1%.
Oh, Krishna. Then you, maybe you should go to the Bhakti Shastri course.
There is humility. She is very close. My daughter said, can I tell you one story?
No. If it's quick.
Yeah, very quick.
No, no.
Only a few days before her leaving the body, she said, Mom, you can take anybody to switch over.
Very good.
I just must remember that even though we've all been many lifetimes to get to here, even with that, we needed to be invited by Krishna. He had to allow it and invite us in for the sun.
Wonderful.
Or grab you by the hair and drag you to the temple.
In many cases. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Take number three. When the primeval Lord Narayan created his universal body out of the five elements produced from himself and then entered within that universal body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha. So, Jagannath Brahmapur.
The words Bhutai Panchami in this verse refer to the five gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air and sky, which form the basic building blocks of the material world. When the conditioned living entity enters within these five elements, consciousness becomes manifest. although with the functions of the mind and intelligence. So along with the functions of the mind and intelligence. Unfortunately, the consciousness manifest under the mode of material nature is governed by ahankara, false ego, in which the living entity wrongly considers himself the enjoyer of the material elements. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama, enjoys his pure transcendental existence in the spiritual sky, the material elements are also meant for his enjoyment through the process of yajna or sacrifice. This material world is called Devi Dham, or the abode of the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya Devi. The Brahma Samhita explains that the Supreme Person is not at all attracted to his inferior energy, Maya. But when the material creation is used in the devotional service of the Lord becomes attracted by the devotion and sacrifice of the living entities, and thus indirectly, he is also the enjoyer of the material. We should not think that the pastimes of Lord Narayan as the super soul and creator of this universe are on a lower spiritual level. Then Narayan's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. When Lord Narayan, in a way to diminish his transcendental bliss and knowledge in his activities of material creation, he would have to be considered a conditioned soul affected by contact with the illusory potency. But since Lord Narayana is eternally aloof from the influence of Maya, his activities as the super soul of the universe are exactly the same transcendental level as his activities of spiritual world. All the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are part and parcel of his unlimited spiritual pastime.
So what are the points there?
Talking about the Mahatattva and the Purushottama aspect of the Lord. That is one. I was hearing a class on this chapter, and it was mentioned that one of Prabhupada's disciples was asked Prabhupada a question that why is it so difficult? Why Krishna is bringing it so difficult? Why did he create this Maya? So the lecturer was saying that Prabhupada got very upset and said that Krishna did not create Maya. Obviously Krishna did create, but he was trying to instruct in a different way. Krishna is not responsible, you are responsible. So it's like almost like saying, why did government create a jail? Because we are responsible. That's why he had to create this whole world.
Correct.
Yeah, good point.
You want to do it. Great competition.
Any other points?
The Lord is not only the enjoyer of the spiritual world, he is the enjoyer of the material world also. And in the process of devotional service, when we offer all the products to Lord, all the things, then he is the enjoyer of that as well. He is the enjoyer of the spiritual world and the material world.
I feel like it has the principle of dovetail, when everything is connected to Maya, Krishna, is only really not affected by Maya.
Yeah, Yukta Vairagya. Yeah, good. So, which incarnations are being spoken of here?
Purusha.
The Purusha avatars, right? How many types of incarnations are there? Six varieties. What are the six varieties of incarnations? Lila avatar, Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Yuga avatar, Manvantara avatar, and Shakti Avesh avatar. These are the six types spoken of in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here we're hearing about the Purusha avatars. Purusha avatars refers to Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. These are called the Purusha avatar. Purush means the supreme enjoyer, the supreme male. This is Mahavishnu, who creates the material world. Right? It all emanates from him, as described here. Everything is within him, all the universes. And then, when he desires, then they manifest. So, these are called the Purusha avatars. He enters into each universe as the super soul of the entire universe, as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Each universe is shaped like a Egg. And he lies down inside the egg. And it's like a sauna. And he begins to perspire. And then his perspiration fills up half the universe with the Garbhodaka ocean. And then he lays on the Garbhodaka ocean on Anantasish. And then Brahma sprouts from his navel. And the universe is created. The 14 planetary systems along the lotus stem, which comes from this. Just like at night time, if you go to our farm, you don't see it so much here, but you can see the Milky Way. Have you seen it? Goes off, goes like a long shot. That's actually the lotus stem. That Milky Way that you see, like that big stem that's going up. Kind of goes off, goes up towards the north, and you can see it kind of shoots up like that, and then it begins to disappear. So that is actually the lotus stem. And then as Shiradakshaya Vishnu, he enters, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into every atom of the universe as Super Soul, Param Atma. And that's how he knows everything. That's why he is Savagya. Savagya means he knows everything because he's in every atom. So he knows everything which is taking place. So these are the Purusha avatars. So in the second paragraph, it points out that Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Narayan, is always unaffected by Maya. And we are always affected by
Maya.
That's the difference. He is unaffected. We are affected.
Fallible and infallible.
Fallible and infallible. Yeah, so.
Why have you said Maya, not modes?
Modes are part of Maya. They're just one element of Maya. But Maya means everything, all the total material energy. So he is unaffected. So you have to worship someone who is unaffected. Just like you seek a guru. Right? The less the guru is affected by Maya, the more he can instruct you. Prabhupada was completely unaffected by Maya. Prabhupada's followers are on different levels of advancement. They're not necessarily Uttama Adhikari devotees. But they're much more advanced than us. But the more unaffected they are by Maya, the more they can lift us up from the effects of Maya.
Tamalki Goswami, an example.
Yeah, he was an advanced devotee. He was an advanced devotee. All the gurus are advanced devotees. Right? So this is showing that the Lord himself is completely unaffected by the material world. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is in this universe, but he's not affected by Maya. We're in this universe, but we're affected by Maya. That is the difference. So there's no equality. We're not equal to the Lord, because the Lord is unaffected by the material world. Any points?
Controller of the three modes of material nature. Lord is the controller of the three modes of material nature.
And everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, and we are subject to the three modes.
It seems like it. Especially passion and ignorance. Too much passion and ignorance. Mode of goodness is beneficial. Yes, sir.
Just a question. I've had different theories, but the sky is basically the covering of the universe. Am I correct in saying
that? The sky that we see, well, we're not seeing very far. We don't see the covering of the universe.
So
the universe is 311 trillion miles or something.
I read somewhere it was 92 billion miles, so going across.
Yeah, so 92 billion. So we're not seeing the edge of it.
Okay. But is that the covering of the, like, this is one universe? Is that what it is?
No, it's just the covering of our planet. That's all. You're just seeing the sky, you mean the blue.
Yeah.
The blue colour. But then at night time it goes away and you see all the stars. So.
Yeah.
And the stars are not even the limit of the universe. They're inside the universe. You're not seeing the covering which is covering them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a long way away from us. you need the Hubble telescope.
What you're saying is far, far out. Universe is going far, far out.
Too far.
10 layers.
Further than India. Further than Agra.
Absolutely.
Any other points?
Is the Prabhupada is saying, is it the clouds?
He said the blue sky just there is the end of the universe. You get a plane, you can go to the end of the universe.
Is that the cloud?
It is Singapore. Okay. Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power, and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and thus the universe is created, maintained, and annihilated. Aishwarya, you want to?
When a conditioned soul becomes completely exhausted by his earnest activities, or when he is overcome by disease, death, or fear, he loses all power to manifest practical knowledge or activities. Thus, we should understand that independent of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can neither work nor cultivate knowledge. By the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul acquires a material body, which is a perverted reflection of the unlimited spiritual body of the Lord. Thus, the living entity engages in ignorant materialistic activities for society, friendship, and love. But the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Similarly, our material knowledge is always subjected to become null and void without an instant, within an instant, since the material nature is itself constantly changing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the prime mover behind the birth, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. And the living entity should try to understand that Personality of Godhead, who has given him so much facility for illusion, the Personality of Godhead actually wants the conditioned soul to surrender to him and regain an eternal life of bliss and knowledge at the Lord's side. The conditioned soul should reason, if the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely he will give even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow his direction without foolish speculations. This verse describes Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the second phase of the Purusha incarnation of the Lord. And that this Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is glorified in the Purusha Sukta Prayas, expands himself as the Super Soul to enter the heart of every living being. Through chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Even in this degraded age, one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord is a person as much as we are, but he is unlimited. Still, a personal loving relationship exists between the tiny living entity and the unlimited Supreme Lord. In consideration of this personal relationship, Bhakti Yoga is the only suitable process by which to come to the ultimate understanding of our constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord.
So what points are there?
He is unlimited and we are tiny, but still there is that loving relationship between the two of us.
Good. Any other points? So it is describing why the material world is being created. It is simply a reformatory center. And what is the material world here for? It is only to reform our consciousness. because we've come here to be separate from Krishna. And because you want to be separate from Krishna, then Krishna facilitates. He gives you a universe to be separate from Him. But when Krishna creates the material world, in Bhagavad Gita He says it is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's all temporary. Everything is temporary. Everything will get taken away in due course of time. And dukkhalaya, right? While it's been taken away from you, you will suffer a lot. So enjoy yourself. Why did we come here? To enjoy ourselves. How is that working for you so far? How is your enjoyment going in the material world? Are you happy? What is it?
Burning everywhere.
Burning everywhere. Samsara. Dhavanala. What do we chant in Mangalati in the morning? Dhavanala. Dhavanala means?
Forest fire.
Forest fire. Material world is like a forest fire. And what do we see this summer? Biggest forest fire in history. Yeah. 20 times bigger than the Amazon fires. And they haven't finished yet.
And now coronavirus?
Coronavirus, I don't know if that's so.
370 people died this year.
What's that?
370 people in China died.
Yeah, but more people die from the flu every year than the coronavirus. I don't know, the coronavirus we'll wait and see. You quite often what these viruses are, the drug companies make the virus, put it into the population, because then everyone has to take the shot and they make a lot of money. So it's a good idea. That's good business. That might be happening. We have to wait and see. See if this one turns into something or not. Okay. Just like a few years ago they had the swine flu and all these things.
They come back again. Bird flu has also come back in China.
They are saying it's potential dangerous.
Well, it's wait and see. Do you trust them?
I don't trust them, but if Krishna wants.
Yeah, so let's wait and see. Maybe this will be the one that wipes out half the Earth's population. But it might not as well. The flu is very dangerous. Like in Australia this year, how many people died?
Hundreds. I don't know.
It was a lot. A lot of people died just from the flu.
A lot of people have died from normal flu than any SARS.
Especially this year, it was very dangerous. My wife got it this year. I don't know whether it's correct to say she nearly died, but she was sick. She couldn't even get off the bed for 4 days. I've never seen like that. Sick. And it's just the flu.
My daughter's 28 years old, and she was in the hospital for 6 days with pneumonia from the flu. Like really sick. Like we thought we were going to lose her.
Yeah. So the coronavirus, I don't know if it is. It might be. It might be a big one, but sometimes these things are hyped up. Freaks everyone out. Yeah, if you own those masks, the company that sells the masks, you make a lot of money. So we don't know yet about this. But the point is, Krishna is saying here, go and enjoy yourself. But I'll make it miserable for you. Yeah, enjoy yourself. Go. Enjoy yourself. But it's going to be miserable. Material world is a reformatory center. It is to wake you up. It makes you suffer. Why? Because then you have to go back to Krishna. Like that. If it wasn't suffering, you would stay here forever. Eating stool. Like Indra. The pig.
Okay. If the Lord is giving you so much facilities and words, surely He will give us more facilities to come.
That is true. That is true.
Lord Krishna is very, very kind.
Krishna is very kind. I tell you, He is kind.
We just have to go to us.
Krishna is our friend.
Yeah.
That is the point. In the beginning, the original Supreme Personality manifested the form of Brahma through the material mode of passion in order to create this universe. The Lord manifested His form as Vishnu, the Lord of the sacrifice, and protector of the twice-born Brahmanas and their religious duties to maintain the universe. And when the universe is to be annihilated, the same Supreme Lord employs the material modes of ignorance and manifests the form of Rudra. The created living beings are thus always subject to the forces of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So who's being spoken of here? Guna avatar. Guna avatars means? The deities who are in charge of the modes of nature. Right? Goodness, passion, ignorance. So passion is under the control of Lord Brahma. Right? Ignorance is under the control of Lord Shiva, and goodness is ultimately under the control of Vishnu. But Vishnu controls goodness through the devatas, through the demigods, who are his agents. So passion is used for creating something. Passion is necessary, passion is good, but it must be controlled. The problem is people get controlled by the mode of passion. But you must control the mode of passion, that's the point. Right? We need to use passion to get things done, to spread the Hare Krishna movement. Just like on Sunday, we have Rath Yatra. A lot of work, a lot of devotees. A lot of devotees have to work hard, Rath Yatra. No? Like one devotee was telling me just before, Uttama Bhakti Prabhu. He has to make 400 pizzas for Rath Yatra one day. They have to make pizza base, 400, hand roll. It will take 8 hours to hand roll 400 pizzas. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. So much service has to be done. So you have to become passionate. But you don't stay passionate. You just use passion to do the service and then that's it. You let go of it. Don't let it control you. You see the material world, they become too passionate. It controls them. Right? And if it controls you, then you lose perspective. Right? You lose your focus on Krishna. So it just gets used and then you let go of it. Same as ignorance. Right? We use mode of ignorance. Right? You need to take rest to keep the body healthy. So take rest, that's tamagun. Right? When you're asleep, you're tamagun. Right? You're not dreaming of Krishna. Some people are, but not most devotees aren't. Sometimes we dream of crazy things. Like last night, I can't remember, but I just remember having dreams last night. And I woke up this morning and I thought it was a very strange dream. It wasn't about Krishna. It was just some crazy thing, you know, goes on.
Monday.
When you're asleep, your mind goes crazy.
Monday.
Even when you're awake, it goes crazy. But when you're asleep, sometimes the dreams are crazy. I wake up and think, well, where did that even come from? It's like some crazy thing happened. Right? That's tamagun. It means you forget Krishna. But you use tamagun to take rest so that you can serve Krishna more. But to realize Krishna, Prabhupada says this again and again, to realize Krishna you must be in the mode of goodness. If you're too much in passion or ignorance, you can't remember Krishna. Right? In the mode of goodness you can remember Krishna. So the guna avatars, they control the different modes of material nature. But don't become controlled by the modes. Lord Shiva controls ignorance, but he's not controlled by ignorance. Brahma controls passion, but he's not controlled by passion. Vishnu controls goodness through the devatas, but he's not controlled by the mode of goodness. That's the point. Okay. Naranarayan Rishi, who is perfectly peaceful and is the best of sages, was born as the son of Dharma and his wife Murti, the daughter of Daksha. Naranarayan Rishi taught the devotional service of the Lord by which material work ceases, and he himself perfectly practiced this knowledge. He is living even today, his lotus feet served by the greatest of saintly persons. So it's interesting because it describes in the purport that Naranarayan Rishi gave transcendental knowledge to Narada. And while they were discussing and teaching Narada, they taught him the process of bhakti. And bhakti has different gradations. If you study Bhagavad Gita carefully, especially using Surrender Unto Me, Burujan Prabhu's book, you'll understand the concept of the different types of bhakti that we render. There is Sakam Kama Bhakti, Nishkam Kama Bhakti, and then there is Uttama Bhakti, like pure devotional service. Sakam Kama Bhakti. What does the word Sakama mean? With desires. Right? So what's an example of doing service with desires? It means you want to do a service. You're attached to doing a particular service. You're not so surrendered that you'll do any service for Krishna. Right? You like to do particular service. I have to do this service. This is my service. I want to do this service. I want to serve Krishna in this way. So then you do the service and then you offer the result to Krishna. That's Sakam Kama Yoga. If you want to advance more, you have to become Nishkam Kama Yoga. Nishkam. It means without material. It means you'll do any service for Krishna. Not so important. You just do the service. And at the end, you offer the result to Krishna. You get purified. Uttama Bhakti means pure devotional service. Means actually while you're serving Krishna, you're meditating on your spiritual form. All right, free from material desires. That is the highest level. So this is the different levels of bhakti. This was spoken by Naranarayan Rishi. King Indra became fearful, thinking that Naranarayan Rishi would become very powerful by his severe penances and seize Indra's heavenly kingdom. Thus Indra, not knowing the transcendental glories of the incarnation of the Lord, sent Cupid and his associates to the Lord's residence in Badarik Ashram. As the charming breezes of spring created a most sensuous atmosphere, Cupid himself attacked the Lord with arrows in the form of the irresistible glances of beautiful women. Now, is quite a famous pastime in the Bhagavatam that Indra sent the apsaras, means very beautiful heavenly women, to attract Naranarayan Rishi. But they were not attracted. And Prabhupada was actually asked this question in the very beginning, not in like 66, 67. He was at a radio station. And the interviewer said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, are you self-realized? Prabhupada said, yes. I said, what is the proof? What did Prabhupada say?
He said, if you mean...
Yeah, I can be in a room full of naked women and I'm not affected. But you cannot. That was Prabhupada's realization. Prabhupada could be in a room full of naked women. Right? Not affected. But any materialistic person, they will be affected. So Prabhupada said, this is self-realization. Naranarayan Rishi are like this. Supreme Lord, so above the modes of nature. Right? So when the material energy tries to attract them, there is no attraction. This is the difference between Vairagya and Virakti. Virakti is one of the nine symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. Vairagya means detachment. Virakti means complete indifference. Right? Vairagya means we have to practice being detached. Right? Just like you see a beautiful girl, right? Or the lady sees an attractive man. Right? But then you see, but then you think, no, this is Maya. And you have to tell your mind, do not look. Look away. Focus. Start chanting. That's Vairagya. But Virakti means even you see, but you're not attracted. Right? It's indifferent. Oh, that's there. It's not there. It means nothing. So we have to become more advanced. We get to the point of Virakti. That is Bhava Bhakti.
That means he's seeing Krishna in that person.
Yeah.
Krishna everywhere.
Always thinking of Krishna. Not Agra. Krishna.
I'm not there yet, but I'm imagining that it's like a muscle you build, like with meat. When you first give it up and you say you still want it, but you're like, no, I'm not going to eat it. But then after,
not everyone thinks like that.
But then
some of us give it up and never think of it ever again.
But then later,
Yeah.
With a long stick.
Yeah.
So it's getting yourself used to it and building that muscle.
That's vairagya, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you practice vairagya, and then eventually it becomes virakti.
Mm.
Just no attachment whatsoever. Even someone can offer it to you, completely.
Even disgusting. The thought of it makes me
sick. Even the thought of it. Even driving past McDonald's, I feel sick. Hungry Jacks, I nearly throw.
Speaking of Hungry Jacks.
I can't speak about it now because I'm going to read this verse.
Okay.
The primeval Lord, understanding the offense committed by Indra, did not become proud. Instead, he spoke laughingly as follows to Cupid and his followers, who were trembling before him. Do not fear, O mighty Madana, O wind god and wives of the demigods. Rather, please accept these gifts I am offering you and kindly sanctify my ashram by your presence. This is transcendental consciousness. Right? If you want to understand, why do we study Bhagavatam? Huh? Nila Gopa, why do we study the Bhagavatam? Why? So we can understand what is transcendental consciousness. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sachiti Na Kanchiti. This is the consciousness. Someone comes to your ashram, they offend you, you don't get angry, right? And you still offer them prasadam. That's transcendental consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What do? Someone comes to our ashram, they offend us, we get angry, and maybe we offer them prasadam. Not advance. This is actual transcendental consciousness. This is why we study the Bhagavatam, so we can understand these things.
Practice it a little hard. I'll give you an example.
Oh, Krishna.
One debt collector came to one lady's house, and she didn't even open the door. And she just rebuked them. What is this? The
complete nonsense.
Oh,
I nearly broke my arm.
And they're those are devotees.
This is verse 9. My dear King Nimi, when Naranarayan Rishi thus spoke, eradicating the fear of the demigods, they bowed their heads with shame and addressed the Lord as follows. To invoke his companion, our dear Lord, you are always transcendental, beyond the reach of illusion, and therefore you are forever changeless. Your causeless compassion toward us, despite our great offense, is not at all unusual in you. Since innumerable great sages, who are self-satisfied and free from anger and false pride, bow down humbly at your lotus feet. So this is how we understand if we are free from the modes of material nature. We are free from anger and false pride. If you have pride, right, and anger, then you are not above the modes of nature. So you see in Naranara and Rishi, no anger, no false pride, just completely transcendental. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. Keep studying, and then maybe you will understand it. Tomorrow night we will finish chapter 4. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.